Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Mark chapter 11. Turn there, please. That was Jane Hammond who preached and ministered to us along with a great team at our Power Conference annual. That was our 20th annual Power Conference. And she spoke to us decreeing that this place would be one of the epicenters. Everybody say one of the epicenters. One of the epicenters for a great awakening. Last week I preached to you about awakenings, modern awakenings. What is an awakening? An awakening is when God touches a people so profoundly that they put away their beer, they put away their sin, and they begin to call on His name. And the transformation that takes place in their life moves into their family, and it moves from their family into the community, it moves from their community into the larger, wider, spreading region. And from there can literally go through a nation. And he said, was that really possible? It's not only possible, it has happened before. Germany experienced a reformation, even though Martin Luther was one of the first ones that really propagated anti-Semitism, for which we grieve, and many of you don't know that. He was also instrumental in bringing an awakening out of the book of Revelation, Justification by Faith. And he wrote a book called The Priesthood of All Believers. And he came against a Catholic church, for which I was raised in the Catholic church for a little bit. Anybody else recovering Catholic? He nailed the 95 thesis on the church at Wormburg and got in a whole lot of trouble. Just so happened right at that time that Gutenberg created an incredible invention called the printing press and produced... The first book off the printing press is the Bible. That's not Luther's Bible, but it is fascinating that all those things come together at that exact time for the Word of God to spread through Germany. And soon the people began to get the Bible in their language. The Catholic Church, had, in an attempt to preserve the Bible, took it out of the language of the people and put it in Latin, who hardly anybody knew how many of you speak Latin right now? Well, only educated people spoke Latin. And so priests would then share the word of God in Latin, but hardly anybody knew it. Even in the 1950s, when they came out with the Dewey version, some of you that might be a little bit older here would remember, the Catholic Church, when they gave Bibles, they chained them actually to the pew. So you couldn't even get a Bible out of the church. I have in my library, which I've just unpacked actually, a Dewey version, 1953 or 52, the Dewey version of the Catholic Bible with the Apocrypha, which we don't see as something which is a part of the canon of Scripture. And if you don't understand what I just said, that's another message because I got to keep moving. And it says on the inside leaf of that Bible that whoever reads the Bible for 40, I think it's 15 minutes a day, with the veneration due the Holy Scriptures, will receive 3 years of indulgence. How many of you know what indulgences are? Indulgence were that which you could buy or earn that would give you less time in purgatory. How many of you know what purgatory is? It's a fictitious place. It doesn't exist. There's heaven, there's hell. And whether you read the, but you can still go to hell even if you read your Bible 15 minutes a day. You must make a decision on Jesus. Talking about an awakening. And there was a reformation and awakening, I think, and reformation would go hand in hand, or they're synonymous, so similar terms. And that kind of thing has happened throughout Scripture. There's the first awakening and the second awakening. And our America is the way that it is. And if you want to hear more about this, I preached the whole thing last Sunday. I'm going to move on to some of the characteristics of what brings actually an awakening. Because if we're called to have an awakening, we should know what actually brings it. What actually brings an awakening? What actually is going to cause this to become an epicenter. I love that word because an epicenter, like an earthquake. What would actually cause us to be a place of shaking? God wants to heal you. God wants to help you. God wants to set you free from the depression, from your anxiety, from your fear. I declare over you today that you will not be the same after the preaching of this word, and that you will be equipped to such a degree that when you leave this place, you'll have a new set of weaponry to take authority over the enemy and expand the kingdom of God in your life, in your family, in your own business. Come on, in your marriage, can I get a better amen? Amen. Now let me, again, many of you are new. I preach like 10 times better if you say something. Just say amen. Amen. Try it again. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Amen. All right. A widespread movement of the Holy Spirit that brings individuals and communities into transformation. That is why I am here. I did not come here for a job, because if that was the case, I'd have quit and resigned a long time ago. God called me here. We've been here 18 years. We love you, as shown by our commitment to be here for 18 years and committed to see this place become a place of outpouring. Something is unique about Alaska. Something is very special about this state, like a gem over all of North America with its highest peak. There's something unique about Alaska. Oh, we might not be few in number, 1 million people, some say 850,000, but there's something very powerful about Alaska and the position, really a gateway for all of America. And I believe that God is going to bring to fruition what he showed me some almost 20 years ago now. And what he showed me was his golden oil being poured out in the same way that there's a pipeline from the North Slope to Valdez. The Lord spoke to me and said, I'm bringing a pipeline of revival and awakening, reformation, where the golden oil of Zechariah will flow. And I saw this oil covering over the state of Alaska, oil from heaven. And I saw it going over into China. I saw it flowing over into Canada, down into the lower 48. It's a great time to be alive. Welcome to the great Alaskan awakening. I believe it has begun. I was having a conversation with Jim LaFoon years ago. I was reminded as I was preparing this, many of the basic characteristics of awakening and the kingdom are not taught. We don't hear so much in many circles about fasting. You don't hear too much about prayer. You don't hear too much about spiritual warfare. Travail, tarrying services. You ever hear of a tarrying service where you would come and tarry or wait? And by and large, across the body of Christ in the Western world is anemic. It's powerless in many places. Now, I don't believe that's here, but I don't want to be arrogant to say that we've arrived either, because I know there's more. I know that God wants to do more. He said, well, this is amazing what's taking place. Yeah, it is, but in my mind, I've seen multitudes. I've seen cars in my mind, in my spirit, as I prayed, I've seen cars coming from all directions to gather. We're going to see that. I believe that God will release 10% of the population to be a part of what's taking place here. But what about the other 90%? It's not just our church. It's the body of Christ. We need a great outpouring, and we need churches all across the state to rise to make disciples. Churches in garages, churches in homes, churches in villages, churches in buildings like this. Churches. We need churches to rise. There's a great awakening. Come on, somebody say there's a great awakening. That is the only hope for America. And it is a biblical, if you study eschatology, which is eschatology, big word that means the study of the end thing. You study the end. There's what's called when the fullness of the Gentiles, it's an indication of a time clock. In the fullness of the Gentiles, it is then that the Lord will return. It's fullness. It's a picture of time, a picture of completeness. Gentiles are anybody other than Jews. Now, there's Jewish people that have given their lives to Christ who call the Messianic Jews, completed Jews, but most people here are Gentiles. When the fullness of the Gentiles comes, it will indicate the end. And there's going to come a great falling away. Now, there cannot be a great falling away unless there's a great ingathering. And I just, To me, I don't think we've gotten there yet. There's so many people that don't know the Lord. Some components of awakening. Every awakening, a revival, to quote Jane Hammond, a revival is that which takes place in someone's heart. An awakening is that which takes place in a region. An awakening, I think, and reformation can be synonymous. Some of the components are prayer. You want to write something down, write that down. Prayer. Every awakening has a prayer movement that precedes it. Every single one. It'll come to pass, Joel 2, which Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost, it'll come to pass afterward. After what? In the context of Joel 2, it's after rending your heart and not your garment. It's after fasting and prayer. After fasting and prayer, then he pours out his spirit. Fasting and prayer is key. Everybody say it's key. It's key. Prayer. The second thing you'll see as a characteristic of awakening is a passion for God's word. Pastor Karen's going to preach on that. Pastor Karen has become my favorite teacher. You don't want to miss next week, and she's going to be preaching to you about God's word, the importance of it, having a passion for God's word. It's going to be a life-changing message. Some of you have a Bible that sits on the back of your toilet tank. Oh, no one in here, of course. Most people have it on their phones, and if you don't, you can, and I think you even should. The passion for God's word. That's in every awakening, you'll see the word of God as a centerpiece of that. It's not the Encyclopedia Britannica, it's God's word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His word will endure forever. You'll see a bold proclamation and demonstration of the gospel. We'll preach on that. Sharing your faith, witnessing, winning souls. And not just that, signs and wonders and miracles. So there's characteristics to every awakening. In St. Gall, Switzerland, when the word of God came, after Luther's Reformation, the word of God came to St. Gall, Switzerland. They read it under a street lamp for well over 24 hours, and thousands of people gathered to hear the word of God in their language. Today, God's word is preached and spoken. We have it in so many different forms, but people have gotten dull to that. And so I want to talk to you as we move on in this series, The Great Alaskan Awakening. I want to talk to you about prayer. 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 So we look at the text and let's go ahead and read it. Would you stand with me if you're able to? Mark 11 and find verse 22. New King James, are you ready? So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Let's pray. Father, move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's talking about speaking to mountains. Mountains are a picture of that which is immovable. Mountains are a picture of an obstacle or a problem or a trial. It could be a picture of a sickness. It could be that which is hindering you from moving forward in the plan of God. We have power through prayer to speak to mountains. Jesus spoke to disease. He spoke directly to Satan, to his demons, to the wind and the waves, and they all obeyed. You could look through scripture. He bent over that woman, Peter's mother-in-law, and said, I rebuke the fever. He spoke to the fever. I shared in the first service, I'll share again. Excuse me. I think it's the second or third century. I need to go look up the who it was written about, but a persecuted Christian being persecuted by the Romans, and he was put on his knees, and he was given 24 hours to move the mountain because Jesus said you could move mountains, and they said, if that mountain doesn't move, you're dead. So his friends are interceding, he's crying out, and he prays that the mountain's moved, and right before the time was up, there was an earthquake, and they said the mountain moved, rocks, but I mean, and they became believers. It's just one of those unusual stories. There is no impossibility before God. Inanimate objects can't hear, can they? He would speak to things like wind and waves because there's a spirit behind them. You need to learn to pray out loud. When we prayed corporately, I encourage you to lift your voice. It's so important. Jesus spoke to demons, commanded them to shut up, commanded them to leave. God spoke in creation. You go look in the book of Genesis. He spoke and said, let there be land. Let there be light. Then there was light. Let there be land. Let there be sea. Let the waters cover the sea. He spoke it over and over. Only with mankind. He made mankind in his image. And he breathed his breath into him. Jesus spoke. We need to speak on the basis of our faith. Faith. Confident assurance of what you cannot see. Faith is acting on God's word. So when you see what God's word says, you begin to speak that and decree it through prayer. When we were in the process of purchasing this property, my son, who I think roundabout figures was 10 years old, 9, 10 years old, he insisted that we come to the old church property, which was this property. We had purchased it years prior. We purchased it 10 years prior, and we had sold it, and we were at Lucille Street, outgrowing that facility. And for whatever reason, he wanted to come and come here and see the old church property. He had asked me a number of weeks in a row, and I had said, no, you know, later. But we're coming back, and faithful Monday in 2014, this property was for sale for $4 million. He said, Dad, we need to go there. And we all ended up coming here, which was the last thing in the world I wanted to do. I wanted to go and have a nap on my one day off on Monday. Sometimes irritation can get you in the way of fulfilling the plan of God. We got here, and long story shorter, God spoke to me when we were in that broken down barn, which was our first building. As I lifted my hands and Hannah and Daniel were there kicking the can inside that barn that was completely defiled. There's homeless people living in there and windows were all broken out. I lifted my hands and I began to thank God that we had a church. We had gone through a lot of things that basically should have wiped us out, but by God's mercy, we still existed and were thriving. And we still are even to this day. Can somebody say praise the Lord? So I lifted my hands and the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm giving you the property back. It was so loud, I asked them if they actually, did you guys hear that? And they said, no. So I guess it wasn't audible because they would have heard it, but it was audible to me. I went and I called our real estate person. I said, check on the property. This is what just happened. I know it's for sale for $4 million, but just call. It had just gone back to the bank, as I understand it, that day. Called me back and told me, you'll never believe what happened. I said, tell me. He said, it's gone back to the bank. We can buy it for $1 million. I almost lost my mind because I had faith for $1 million, but I didn't have faith for four. I have faith for more than that now. But back then, four, that's impossible. Little did I know. I called Dr. Morocco to see what he would say. He screamed at me, hang up and put an offer in now. Hang up now and put an offer in. So I hung up and went to put an offer in and they said, okay, how much? I'm like, I don't know. I called Dr. Morocco back. We put an offer in. We locked it up and we purchased it. But here's what happened between the agreed upon price by the bank and us paying for it. We had no money. Now that's a problem. I said, that's a problem. You know what? Let's just look around. Look at everything you see here. All of this. Everything you see. We never had nickel one to do it. Never had one nickel to do it. It all happened by faith. God would bring it in. He still does it today. Some of you are waiting for your ship to come in. It sank. Your ship sank. Get your ducks in a row. They're all been shot out of the sky by some duck hunter. Begin to declare God's plan and will. Begin to speak it out. What is God going to do? So we knew God wanted to do a miracle, and it had started, but we had no money. So I came to the edge of this property. You should have seen me. I looked like a wild man. People thought I was out here like every day because there was one of our, I don't know if you guys remember our beloved brother who was also bald, a little bit heavier than us. Maybe we were the same size back then. Anyway, he would go early in the morning and stand out there, and then I would come in the afternoon. They're like, man, that bald pastor is always out there. Well, it was some other guy. It was my stunt double. He was out there. God gave us faith. The lending institutions all said, we're not giving you any money. The bank said no here and laughed. Can't build a building that big in Wasilla. I said, well, we're gonna. They said, no, you can't. Meeting over, thank you for your time, walked out. And nobody that would agree except you all agreed. And God miraculously gave us divine connections on the other side of the nation through a series of different unique ways to raise money and loans. And we're in this building by an act of God. It is absolutely supernatural. Come on, you can give a better hand clap to the Lord. It's a miracle. I had somebody get mad at me and said, I can't believe that we spent money to build a building like that. I'd rather have church in a cardboard box. I think that's where he's having church. I hope that's working out for you. I'm so glad. That wasn't very nice. I'm so sorry, Lord. Forgive me. We stood there and declared and proclaimed and prayed. That's what you have to learn to do. We had faith to see that happen. We have faith for this school to be birthed and to go into a full high school. We had faith for a 30-acre retirement. Retirement. Well, maybe that's new. 30-acre dream center, and God brought us together with the High Slips, and we partnered, and now we have a dream center over the King's Dream Center, and people getting touched by God. We had 160 people at our Transformations church gathering over at Luz. 160 people on a Tuesday night, those who've struggled with life addiction and problems. And it's all by faith and it's all by prayer. Come on, let me get a little deeper into this. Some awakening prayer insights. Let me give this to you. Here's how you pray. You pray over our region and its problems. Prayer. Prayer will release awakening. Without prayer, no awakening. Pray over our region and its problems. We have many problems, but God has all the solutions. Can you say yes? There's incest. There's perversion. I was so glad to see it's a transgender story hour or some craziness being propagated, and a bunch of people shouted and it got shut off. Soldatna, they were doing the queer story hour or something during the summer. How many of you remember some of these things? It's interesting how it's all just getting shut down. Thank God for godly legislation being turned around. We're not against people. We love people. But you can't call right what the scriptures call wrong. And we don't believe in moral relativism. We believe in the Word of God. And God's Word is very clear. God's word is true. God's word is sure. Heaven and earth will pass away. Is it offensive? You better believe it's offensive. And some of you need to be offended. Why? So that you could change. Amen. Have you ever been offended, Pastor? Yes, recently. Come on, if you have things inside you that need to be offended, they need to be offended. We need to confront things in our region through prayer and through action. I remember when the weed, the cannabis, was being voted in. We showed up. Do you remember that, Minister Hank? Some of you guys remember that? I heard news on Sunday that there was a big cannabis hearing at the city hall. Now, I know there's medicinal purposes and all of that, but I think it needs to be managed very well, and I don't think you should just be getting high. There's nothing wrong with drinking wine. There's everything wrong with getting drunk. Problem with weed is, today, not that I would know, but I mean, you can't just have a little bit of weed and not get high unless some of those things are taken out and there's creams. I understand that. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to give that to rest. But we went down to the city hall, and somehow everybody that was for cannabis was late. And We ended up on time. I know that was hysterical to me. I just lost track of time or something. I don't know what happened. And we filled the whole city hall, and it wasn't even something that we pushed. I just said, you know, I'm going to go down there, and there's, I don't know, how many people down there, Minister Hank? Maybe a couple hundred people. And Minister Hank spoke about PTSD and gateway drugs and all that, and somehow it was pushed out of Wasilla to some degree, and I don't know where it stands now, but we need to stand against things in our region that are problems. Can you say amen? It's one of the reasons we started the school. We need to pray over cultural groups in our area. We need to pray. There's incest problems. There's all kinds of difficulties. We need to pray that besetting sins are dealt with. And let me just break that down quickly. A besetting sin. Let me read this to you. If I've lost you, please focus now. Analyze your family. If you're going to have a great, you're going to have an awakening in a region, it's got to start with you. It starts in your family. So you take a look at your family. Where did you come from? Where are you from? What's your background? Now I send some spittle off to some DNA place, and I'm apparently 98% Northwest European, Celtic mostly. Okay. Well, if you look at the Celts and you look at the Irish and you look at the Scottish and you look at them, what are some of the sin conditions that they have? They're big drinkers. So you can look for sin in people groups. So alcoholism is big in the Irish, in pubs and that whole world. You can look at besetting sins in nationality. You can look at your own family. What are some of the things in your family? Let me read this to you. Besetting sin is a specific sin that persistently troubles or ensnares a person, making it difficult to overcome despite the efforts to resist it. It is a reoccurring weakness or temptation that tends to trip up a believer repeatedly. It could also be called a stronghold. So let me just ask you, it's great to sit on your couch and get angry about the removing of the Ten Commandments from the Capitol Rotunda, but have you removed them from your home, from your heart, and what are the things that you're actually doing that needs to change? I'm not feeling the love right now. One of the difficulties, to be very transparent, is that my father had an anger problem. Now, he worked that out a little bit with my first two older brothers, and for me, I didn't get as much as that, but I caught it. There was a short fuse I had growing up, like when I played tennis. I was 10 years old. I played tennis. If you beat me, I would try to kill you with my racket. And I would black out. I would get so angry, I'd black out. That's not good. It could even actually be demonic. So that was a besetting sin. So I got saved. I got born again, and I learned to control myself. I learned to control my temper, but I still was a little hot. It took me a little bit to get over that. My wonderful son in the front somehow picked up on some of that, but he mastered it. I've repented already. I'm just being transparent. This is the Bracken family. We're intense. True. The gift of zeal, but early on, I had anger. Anger's a cover for hurt. And so my son caught that like a secondhand smoke, but he mastered it very quickly, and I'm proud of you for that. You'll always have to keep it mastered. Amen. Men of God need to
control their emotions.
I taught him that when he was 6 or 7 years old. Men of God need to control their emotions. I taught him that while he was stacking wood, getting corrected. He got in a fight with his sister. It was all his sister's fault, but we didn't know it. So he's the one that got in trouble, so he's outside stacking wood until he gets in. He was so upset. And I said, you can be done stacking wood when you have control of yourself. I love this story. It's a great story. He's stacking wood. He does a couple rounds back and forth, 10 below zero. He's got his jacket on. His mama's like, it's cold. I'm like, it's fine. That's how you make a man, or you cave in and you make a sissy. You missed a great place to say amen or something. He goes back and forth. I'll never forget it. There's a knock on the door, and there he is. Okay, I'm done. I'm like, no, you're better, but no. He's like, oh. He goes back. few more runs, comes back. Okay, I'm good now. I said, no, you have to come back happy. You come back happy, then I'll know you've mastered your emotions. I'm watching him. I'm praying for him. His mom's interceding. Ready to call Dr. Morocco for child abuse because my son's outside at 10 below zero. And I'll never forget, he came back and he had real joy. Do you know what real joy looks like? It's not like, okay, it's like, I got it. He said, I got it, Dad. I got it. I said, okay, men of God need to control their emotions. Say it. Men of God need to control their emotions. Good job. It was one of the most important moments of my training in your life. And you've mastered it ever since. I'm proud of you. Man, I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you. Oh, going over here. What are we talking about? Break off besetting sins. I'm not talking about the Brackens. Quit looking at me. What's your issue? What do you got going on? I'm not looking at them. I'm looking over everybody. How about your lust problem? Looking over everybody. Greed. Anger. What are some of the things that trip you up? What are they? It's easy to say, I can't believe the transgender thing. Well, you're like, you know, you're just abusive in your relationship, controlling and religious and angry and filled with greed and lust, and you got a porn problem, and then you're pointing the finger at the transgenders. Got to pray over cultural groups in our area, but we are the culture of the area. Take a look at your family. Take a look at besetting sins. Deal with them. Confront them. Pray over them. Tear them down. Deal with it. Intellectual pride. Got to watch out. People that are really smart, you got to watch out for that one. Sometimes you can be, I'm going over here. Sometimes, you know, if you're really intelligent, you can think you know something. The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know very much. Lift your hands to Jesus. This is very different than the first service. Quick example of anger. Moses, Exodus 2, saw an injustice, uncontrolled anger, killed the Egyptian. It's his first incident. His second incident, Exodus 32, came down, they're all worshiping the golden calf, throws the tablets to the ground, angry. Righteous indignation, but the breaking and the uncontrolled anger and the breaking of the tablets is an indication he's got an anger problem. He does. It's a second instance. The third instance, anybody know what the third one is? The third one is Numbers 20, and I'll read it to you, verse 10. Say, why? I thought you were talking about prayer. I am, because if you don't deal with these things in your life through prayer, you've got to tear it down. You've got to replace the lie. You've got to get healed. And it happens in prayer, receiving prayer, declaring prayer. Real Christianity is becoming like Christ. Real Christianity is being changed. The heart of stone being taken out, the heart of flesh being put in, is being like Jesus. Christian means Christ-like or little Christ. One of the reasons we don't have a great outpouring right now is a lot of people say they're Christians, but they act like something else. Ripping people off. You don't tip anybody. You give them the single finger salute. You're all bent out of shape and attitude problems. Nobody here, of course. Let's read this. Numbers 20, verse 10. He and Aaron gathered together the assembly in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels. I feel like that sometimes. Oh, Jesus. Listen, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock, which is a distortion right there, because Moses ain't bringing any water out of any rock. He's the mailman. And he's supposed to speak to the rock, but instead he hits it. But he's saying, must I bring water out of this rock? It's distorted. Your besetting sins will distort you. Anger would distort you. Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out. The community and their livestock drank. Great, great miracle. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. Wow. So literally, his besetting sin being anger, three instances, caused him to forfeit the plan of God in his life. I mean, he was the one Moses to deliver. No one is as humble as Moses, which is funny because he actually wrote those words. It says in Deuteronomy, Moses was the most humble man. He wrote it. I don't know, it's just funny. And he doesn't go in. Right at that place is called Kadesh Barnea. It's the very place that the spies came back and gave the bad report and caused him to live another 40 years in the wilderness. He was angry about it. And he had never resolved his anger problem. You and I, we all need to confront. Can I have keys, please? That which is a besetting sin. Deal with it. Tear it down. And you do that through prayer, through confession. Got to pray off demonic power, off of various areas of influence. And there's seven main areas of influence. All right? Let me whip through them. Religion. Got to pray for an outpouring in the church. The church needs to come alive. The Methodist church has gone apostate. The Episcopal church is apostate. They're ordaining that which should not be ordained. They're broken from the truth of scriptural truth. And there's some that have broken from them, but the church is really in trouble. We need an outpouring. And cults. I pray every cult closed. I pray every bit of false religion in this region closed in Jesus' name. Exposed for the evil that it is. Expose it, tear it down, witchcraft, idolatry. Religion. Some of the areas of influence are seven. Religion. Family, education, government, media, arts, entertainment. You know, I got bent out of shape a little bit in the first service and I wasn't going to do it in the second, but I liked it so much that I thought I would do it. So, yeah, the Frontiersman newspaper. Do you know that they did a small review for us. But anytime we invite them to an outreach, they don't come. I mean, like the largest outreaches in the state. We're talking thousands of people at the sports complex. They will not. They have in the past, but there's been like a. I don't think they like what we do. And I'm not sure why that is. We need a conservative newspaper too. Their views are very, honestly, I don't think they represent the state at all. I'm not against them, I'm just saying. I think we need a conservative newspaper. We need new news media. I got like two amens. Arts and entertainment. Business. All right. I'm gonna pray for the harvest. I'm gonna pray. Talking about the Great Alaskan Awakening. We need to influence all the areas, and we're doing the best we can with all of that. We'll start a paper if God gives us people to do it with. Just like we started the school. We'd never have started the school without Sister Susie McKenzie. Wanted to do it. We could not do it because I don't have the skill set, and I have prayed, and God gave us Susie. It's a miracle. I prayed along with many of you. A moral outcry for education. But needs to continue. There needs to be a moral outcry in every area of influence, and God will raise you up to fill the need. Can you say amen? Pray for the harvest, the basis of Isaiah 43, 5 through 7. Fear not. For I am with you. I'll bring your descendants from the east and gather them from the west. I'll say to the north, give them up. That is a powerful prayer. Come on, reach your hands out north, south, east, and west. Father, in Jesus' name, we call forth souls. We call forth our families. We call forth the lost, the hurting, the broken. Bring them in. Everyone who is called by your name, who you've created for your glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Bring them in. For blind eyes to be open. That comes from 2 Corinthians 4. The gospel is veiled, says the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:3. It is veiled to those who are perishing. Veiled. There's something over their eyes. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So how do you pray according to that? In the name of Jesus, I command the blinding assignment of the devil to be broken off of my loved one and the veil to be lifted from their eyes and for them to see Christ. That's a different prayer than, oh Lord, You know their heart. Can you save them? Very different prayer. What I'm trying to do, and I don't know that I'm doing such a good job, I'm trying to inspire you to pray, to pray out loud, to pray God's word, to pray, tear down strongholds and besetting sin, to pray over incest and wickedness, to pray over these areas of influence, and not just some apathetic thing where you just wave a white flag and hope, oh Jesus, I hope you come back, Jesus. What are you talking about? Take your God-given, blood-bought right and declare the will of God in the earth until it comes. It's not unlike this property. Lord, you said, God, you gave it to us. Now we need $1 million. And God will change things and turn things around, and God will fulfill his plan. He'll bring an awakening. Pray for hearts to be softened. Pray for open doors. Pray for boldness. One of my staff years ago, walking in the back of a revival meeting, everybody's getting touched by God and they don't even want to be there. She's walking in the back and she said, Lord, I don't even want to be here. I'm not hungry. I don't feel anything and I don't even care. And I know that's not right. So Lord, would you please help me? That's a good prayer. Would you please help me? I want to be hungry. Lord, would you make me hungry? Oh God, she just walked back and forth, and you know what happened? All of a sudden her heart shifted, boom. She began to be hungry and then started crying out, God, I need your touch, I need your love, I need your help. I'm broken. Then she started realizing there were things on the inside of her that she was discouraged and hurting about. She started crying out for the Lord, and the power of the Holy Spirit touched her and set her free. If you're not hungry and you're not thirsty, if it's not God's fault, it's you. Sometimes we get so hurting and so broken. Oh, Lord, you can pray for boldness. Some of you were invited because someone loved you enough, was bold enough to invite you today. I'm almost done. I'm landing the plane. Pray for signs and wonders. Pray for laborers. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, be led by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God leads us, if you'll allow him, if you'll desire that. Raise your voice. Learn to raise your voice at home. At home. So I'm uncomfortable. You'll get used to it. It's the biblical model. Lift your hands to Jesus. To the degree that we have a prayer movement will be the degree of the awakening. Corrie Ten Boom said that the degree of repentance is the degree of awakening. Thank you, media person. Be fervent in prayer. Be fervent in prayer. I met with one of our business people, and you're here, but I'm not going to come point you out, but they said, you know, that no bids are coming in. Work is drying up. I just thought, oh no. So we gathered, we got in prayer. It was about 45 minutes. God gave us a word out of Psalm 75. God brings one man down, raises up another. We prayed until the bell rang. It's about 45 minutes. You know what I mean by that? Now, if you don't know what I mean by that, you need to understand what I mean. You pray until something pops. Like it feels different. Something's different. You'll have joy that'll hit you. It'll just feel like, man, woo, something, what was that? Something changed. You'll feel it in your spirit. It's called praying through. Well, I've never felt that. Maybe you've never prayed through. Answer to prayer. Fervent prayer. Fervent prayer changes things. Now, it's not a begging. It's not a pleading. There's 13 different kinds of prayer. Fervency should be in all of them. And it's not being loud. I'm loud. You don't have to be loud, but it does have to be full heart, with all your heart. Daniel 10, from the day you sense your heart to gain understanding, I've come in response to your words from the first day. Daniel Morocco, Dr. James Morocco's father, would pray very loud in an operatic voice. And Daniel Morocco praying, Dr. Morocco in high school, said, Dad, do you have to pray so loud? You know, God's not deaf. And Dan Morocco said, that's true. He's also not nervous. I've found fervency of prayer really releases change. To tell the rest of that story, we were fervent, we prayed, we went back and forth, something shifted, we end up laughing, praise the Lord. Well, in the next 48 hours, sent me a text of all the bids that came in, approved, approved, approved. Your company's been chosen, your company's been chosen, your company's been chosen. You think that's an accident? It's not an accident, it's the fervent prayer of the righteous brings much change. What could happen in a community? What could happen in a community that got really on fire and started praying, started reaching, started declaring, started taking care of the besetting sins and then living this Jesus life out loud and praying for your neighbors and praying for the community and praying for our government and praying for the school? What could happen? The great Alaskan awakening is what could happen. I'm done. Stand up on your feet, lift your hands to Jesus all across this place. Oh, thank you. Come on, talk to God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I can't hear you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, pray for your family. We pray our families saved. We pray, God, lift the scales from our loved ones. Cause, Lord, there, Lord, to be a great awakening. Come on, pray for your marriage. Pray for the single people. Pray for God to intervene. Jesus. Without you, we're finished. But with you, God, we can run through a troop. We can jump over a wall. I pray, release your power upon your people. Awaken your bride. Awaken your church. Awaken us, oh God, to the efficacy of your blood, the power of praying out loud, fervently. Praying, standing on your word, not shrinking back as some in the habit of doing unto destruction, but pressing on, pressing in until you come, till you split the eastern sky, set the church of the living God on fire, set people on fire in this place. No more, no more apathy, no more lethargy. We reject the things of time and tradition. While giving thanks for them, we stand here, Lord, so desperately in need of a move of God. Our kids need a move of God. Our schools need a move of God. Come by your power and pray your prayers through us to see it happen. In Jesus' name, come on, put your best hand clap together for God. Ushers, would you help us? We're going to go ahead and receive communion. With every head bowed, every eye closed, as they're preparing to serve communion, which is open, it's a cracker and grape juice so as to not exclude former alcoholics. If you're not right with God, don't leave this place in that condition. From Kotzebue to Ketchikan, all the Aleutian Islands, from Barrow, Point Hope, all over Alaska, all over Canada, wherever you are. If you died, God forbid, today would be your last day, where would you go? Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. You must be born again. If that's you, you give your life to Jesus for the first time, or some of you need to recommit. Give your life to him now. Recommit your life to him. He didn't move. We're the ones that move. We're the ones that get offended. Surrender your life to him again for the first time or for the recommitment. If that's you, pray this with me right out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. I believe that he rose again from the grave. And I ask you today to wash me, to cleanse me, and forgive me of all of my sin. Come and make your home in my life, in my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Lift your hands as a sign of surrender. Holy Spirit, come, fill these now.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.